afternoon?
Good noon. Good noon. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jesse Fires, and I am with Pastor Ronaldo Brown. Back at it. Today we have a great topic, wisdom for work, wisdom in the workplace. And so me and Pastor Brown have a great opportunity to share what the Bible says about it, maybe just from our own experiences too as well.
Sure.
I'll start off because I preached on this just recently.
Oh, great.
In our little chopped New Year's Eve. So,
flashbacks.
Yeah, flashbacks. So it was a really, if you didn't see, our New Year's Eve service, it was a amazing service. Yep. I had a great time. Mm-hmm. And then they had, three random people come up to have like a chopped, you took a box and there's props in there. And then you had to preach a message on this. And so I got Ecclesiastes 9, 10. And, you know, I just want to first start off with this because I think, we all have an opportunity to work in this life, and work is a huge part of our life. Mm-hmm. And Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And I had only like 5 minutes, not even, to prepare. And so I came up just guns hot, you know, whatever your hand finds, do with all your might.
Exactly.
I don't care what he gives you, this, that, just do it with all your might, you know? And now, you know, hindsight, and now like, okay, now I'm diving into the scripture too as well. And this is true. Like whatsoever that hand finds could be like ordinary task, could be work, could be just regular responsibilities. Do it with energy, do it with effort, with all your might. But we also have to understand our limits, right?
Sure.
Like we need wisdom in our goals, wisdom in our work. And this is what we're talking about today. Wisdom on what to pick up. Not, I shouldn't be, you know, picking up whatever your hand finds. Okay. Let me find all these things and do all these, wear all these different kinds of hats and do everything. And, so we have to have wisdom in that, cause some things shouldn't even be picked up at all. You know,
that's a good point. I think, in life, when you're young, you want to do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, your life is about investigation. What can I do? True. What can I do? But as you get older, your life kind of morphs into concentration. You learn what you can do. You learn what you can't do. You learn that some of the things you want to do, even, you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
But what you do gets narrower at the older you get. And then it's kind of a juxtaposition. When you get to a certain age, you're kind of shocked that you do so little. And you're kind of like, I used to do so much, but trust me, the doing part of your life is starts to wane. It starts to get narrower and narrower. And to at a certain point, it's really positive because I can really be, I can excel at 4 or 5 things. I can't excel at 300 things. So the narrower helps me with focus. It helps you with doing things. But at a certain point, I'm like doing one thing.
Yeah.
But I'm used to doing 4 things, which is another conversation. But work, 480 times in the Bible, work and toil is mentioned. So work is huge. And we talked about this, I think, last week on Tuesday, career and calling. We said that work was part of the design of man. We were designed to work. Work existed before the fall of man. On both sides of the fall of man, man worked. What changed was our motivation, right? What changed was our intention. So we talked about wisdom for work. We think we said this yesterday. Wisdom for work is, we say wisdom, we mean the Bible, Ecclesiastes 9:10. God's mind in my work, not so much wisdom for work, but wisdom in work, like wisdom as I'm doing work. And we talk about our jobs, but it could be anything, like you said, Ecclesiastes 9:10, anything, but wisdom in our jobs. I need God's mind. Let's say it this way. I need God's mind in my job. I need God's mind in my work. Sometimes what we do is just what we do.
Yeah.
But I need God's mind for it because maybe the way I do it needs to have a different motivation, a different focus, a different intention. Cause here's the reality. We are Christians and our audience is Christian and we're in a world and we, and most of us don't have the opportunity to work for a Christian employer.
True.
Or most of us have a business. Let's say we have a business. most of a business that employs Christians and non-Christians. So there's this blending, this mixing, this cultural, countercultural blending where you have unsaved people and saved people, Christians and non-Christians working in the same environment. Mm. And then you have shared goals. Shared goals is profitability. Shared goals is order. Shared goals is a certain amount of excellence. A moral integrity. There's certain things that are shared goals with you, with anybody you work with. But then there's different goals. I want to give the sister verse or the corollary verse to the Ecclesiastes 9:10. It's so funny you brought that verse because I'm thinking of the New Testament version of that, which is 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you shall do, do all to the glory of God, right? So, okay, I find it with my hands and do it with all my might, but then the deeper motivation is that I'm also doing it to the glory of God. So Ecclesiastes 9:10 is more about profit, right? The profit of the situation. I'm fully engaged, right? I'm all the way in. And how many things in your life are you all the way in on? Very few. Like most of us struggle with being all the way into anything, right? So Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, all of you, all the way in. Mm. But 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, pump the brakes before you go all in. Be selective what you're all in. Be selective on how you're all in. Like, okay, it's my job. And maybe the goals of my job are not, they're aligned somehow, they're shared goals, right? Mm-hmm. We want profitability, we want a successful business or successful company. Those are shared goals. But then I have different goals that are personal goals that may not be the company's goals. And this is where the rub comes in. Mm-hmm. My goal is, what is my goal? To know God.
Yeah.
Right? So when I go on my job and give them 8 hours or 10 hours, that goal doesn't change. Mm-hmm. What's my second goal? To make God known. That goal doesn't change. So those are not shared goals.
Yeah.
And the rub for us as Christians, and this is where I really need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom when the goals that I have in my relationship with God are not necessarily shared goals of my job. How do I honor the goals that I have as a Christian while operating in a work environment where those goals may not be wanted, accepted, or allowed? So I need wisdom in how to navigate that, right? Like someone said to me, well, I wish I worked for the church. Well, I'm kind of glad you don't. Because if everybody works for the church, then who's going to work in the world? Where is the witness?
Yeah.
Where is the gospel at? I think we should have Christians in the medical profession, the sociology profession, policemen, firemen, teachers. We need Christians in every area of life. Why? Because we have unique goals that are shared with Christ that may not be shared in those opportunities. And we can't say in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we're ambassadors if we haven't been sent out to any place to be an ambassador to. Who are you representing?
Yeah.
So we got. There's nothing wrong with working in the world. But part of what we're talking about today on the program that you're bringing out is I need wisdom for that.
Yeah.
You know, are we saying you go on a job and you just start preaching or stand on your desk and start preaching John 3:16? No. Wisdom.
Yeah.
Right.
And we could later talk about maybe like when we into the workspace, like how can we share our faith and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So you gave the sister verse of that, and that was what? 1
Corinthians
10:31. Mm-hmm. I give the cousin verse of it too as well. So whatever you do, Colossians 3:23-24, do heartily as for the Lord, not unto men.
Nice.
So like kind of what you're saying is like, I have to have a purpose or know why I'm doing this. I'm not just doing a job just to live. And that's a majority of the people in the world, right? They're looking to, this is why you go to school. This is what the college teaches you, how to get a good job.
Right.
But as Christians, we have a bigger purpose beyond that and it is serving the Lord. And, this is amazing verse, that we could maybe talk about a little bit. Romans 12:11. Be not slothful in business or zeal, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So one, first point is not slothful in business or in zeal. So you're actively pursuing, you know, good works, love in your workforce. Mm-hmm. Number two is fervent. And that goes back to just like whatever your hand finds to do, do it full heartedly.
Absolutely.
Like a fervent spirit. And that word fervent means boiling or on fire. Boiling over, like there's energy, it's energized by the Holy Spirit, and there's spiritual enthusiasm in your work. And I love that. Like I could have that in my work field, or my place of work, wherever I'm working. Like I could have just like this overall joy, even though, maybe I'm a garbage man and I'm doing the same thing, the same routes, but I have great joy. Like you ever have like maybe a mailman you see and this guy's just so happy, you know,
for no apparent reason.
And you're like, you must be a believer or something. You got something going on because you're looking at jury duty and all these different, you know, things, the same route every day, but there's great joy. And that's an amazing to see someone just maybe just a low job, but he has so much joy in it. And so the third point is, and this is what that verse really points at, is serving the Lord. And that's what gives purpose to the first point, not slothful in business or zeal, and to fervent spirit. Serving the Lord is the purpose. And so our intentions as Christians, our purpose in our workforce is not, yes, we want to do a good job and whatever we have, like do it with our full heart, but we also want to include, add God and have a ministry in our work.
That's a good question. Maybe that's the question I could bring back to you is, how do you have a ministry in your work? I mean, there's some jobs you can do that, because the job lends itself to you have permission in the conversation to go anywhere you want to. And then there's some jobs where you might not have such an opportunity. So how do you have a ministry in your work?
I would say like work is a, I always think of work, I don't know who told me this, but work is just a tool. Really is just a tool. I don't want it to be my life. And a lot of the world is put like, I need to have a good job, a good career, and they focus on that. But I see jobs more as a tool of an opportunity to serve me, you know? Like, I'm in control of the tool. The tool is not in control of me. So the job shouldn't be controlling my life, really. But different ways, I would say, I mean, I think the most straightforward way is just inviting people to church. But I don't want to have that be the only way. Because if I keep saying, hey, you want to come to church? They say, okay, no, thank you. You know, first time. And then I can just keep at, I keep inviting them. I keep inviting them. I keep inviting them. Soon away, I'm not even going to see Bob anymore. Like, I keep inviting Bob, but now I don't even see him. He actually quit and went to a different branch, you know? So how can, like, get creative. And this is what it's talking about. Fervent boiling in the spirit. Get creative in your workforce. I would think, say, singing in the halls, just Christian songs. Who knows who's hearing? I'm just singing. I could do whatever. I could sing Christian songs as I go. Maybe you're given. Maybe it's just listening to people.
Speak more to that.
So in a workforce, I would say it's a casual, we're working together. We're talking work constantly. We're doing
job,
this. We're doing it. We're doing our job. But I would go to a step further. I would, I love just intentionally asking people outside of work, how are they doing? Or, you know, about their family.
You
know, kind of get it. Give them, make it personal. And so I think that is genuine and people are like, wow, like no one asked me anything about my outside life or whatnot. You know, it's all business and work. So ask, be intentional about that. Praying for others, you know, praying with others and praying for others, two different things. Maybe you're given to somebody. Yeah, those are just a few things that I think of at the top of my head. So
ministry and the work. I want to go back a little bit. You kind of indirectly mentioned this tension that we have, and it's, this is a tension. People on the workplace is so interesting because they have no purpose really outside of God. The job becomes their purpose. So when the job is your identity, what's the number one place you look for validation? Your identity. So if the job is the place of my identity, it's the place I seek validation. So many people want validation for life choices at their workplace. Like if you ever want to bless a woman, send her flowers to her workplace. Sending them to her house does nothing. But sending them to her workplace says, hey, by the way, I'm loved. Someone loves me, and these are mine. And you're not me. So yeah. In other words, it's a place of validation. For many people, the workplace is a place of validation. Mm. So I'm saying all this to say there's this tension that happens with a believer in a workplace, because now a lot of people make different life choices, and the number one place they want validation is the workplace. Mm. I know one person was telling me a story about how there was a female on their job who suddenly began to identify as a man. Mm. And there was a big meeting, and they were told, gathered together and said, okay, now you have to call her him. Mm. And it was mandatory. And if you didn't, it was a form of discrimination. Because this is the title that they've assumed to call them. So as a believer, on the one hand, we're called to love our neighbor. But on the other hand, the scripture is very clear about gender, design, and sexuality. So the difficulty comes when culturally people seek affirmation or validation in the workplace. And where do you stand as a Christian?
Yeah.
That's the tension. That's the part where maybe the Christian – being Christian itself, because of what you stand for, can be offensive to someone who makes life choices that they know are not publicly Christian, and they seek you to celebrate their decision, to celebrate their identity, to celebrate their transformation, to celebrate their life choices. Mm. What's interesting is if your coworker was an alcoholic, you would not be forced to celebrate that life choice.
Yeah.
But because they want to do a gender transformation, now all of a sudden I need you to co-sign that. Mm-hmm. And you're a believer. What do you do?
Wow. I'm going to give it right back to you. But it's Romans 13:1, right? Yeah. It kind of mentions that. And somewhere else too, it mentions about this. Paul mentions about it, that you're going to have these, yep. You know, and if it goes against the scripture, what God has taught us in scripture, and then I have to make a tough choice, you know. Do I walk by faith and not conform to the world, or do I conform? I mean,
it's tough.
It's definitely a tough place, and I wrestle with this a lot. When I was a believer, but I wasn't walking with God, and okay. I was in the restaurant industry.
Oh.
I know you were in.
You and I both
tough,
have done that.
Tough spot, right?
Yeah.
No one's singing worship songs in the kitchen.
You're not short order cook working a hot grill, saying like, bringing in the sheaves. You're not pancakes doing that.
Oh no.
Pick up order 6. Come get it.
Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you. By the way, you even pay your bill. Jesus loves you.
Don't worry about the tip.
Hey, God's already got you. No, he doesn't got you. He didn't fix it. Pay your bill.
Wow.
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, it was very tough.
A lot of people be eating at that restaurant.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
So, that's amazing.
You can get the holy roller off the cook, off the grill there. I mean, this is where it is. It's like, just give me my food and shut up. It's there. That tension is there. Like,
yeah.
And I find a lot of Christians are very, very intimidated. And shockingly enough, they did a survey recently, 400 Christians that worked in non-Christian workplaces named the number one place you feel most intimidated to be a Christian, and overwhelmingly it was the workplace.
Mm.
It's the one place many Christians take their Jesus Christ cross necklace, tuck it inside their shirt. They don't put the sticker on their desk. They don't wear the Jesus Loves You t-shirt to work on a casual day. I mean, it's like, but then it was so funny to me that the Muslim will have their prayer mat out right beside their desk.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is Islamic writing. It's like, it's so much liberty that they have in the workplace and no one says anything. But when the Christians in the workplace, suddenly now we're intolerant, we're bigots, we're all these things. Because we don't celebrate those lifestyles. So really the workplace is where wisdom and courage are married. Mm. Will I dare to be a Daniel? Daniel 3, right? Wow. Don't pray. Will you dare to be a Daniel? Your workplace is probably the number one place next to your extended family where you being a Christian is going to cause this tremendous tension in your life. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want problems in my life. I don't want that kind of drama. Well, maybe for such a time as this, Esther.
Yeah.
For such a time as this, now in this day and age, in your workplace, it could be a place of warfare. You just want to go put in your 8 hours and just pray on your lunch break and do a little Bible study by yourself and hide in a corner. Maybe you got to be a light on a hill.
Wow. I mean, when you're speaking, I'm thinking of like Jesus even goes a step further and says, lose your life and you'll find it. How about lose your job and you'll find another one? Come
that's
on.
Touching. That's
I mean, it's not our life, but it's a big part of our life, right? We're there more majority of our time.
Most of your waking hours are at your job.
Crazy.
The average Christian in America works 50 to 60 hours a week. Mm. Out of waking hours, out of let's say 85 to 90 waking hours, that's almost 70, 60, 75% of your waking hours are at your job.
Yeah.
Wow. And then you can't be a Christian on your job, or can you?
Wow. Yeah.
But that's where the wisdom comes in. This is what we're cutting at today. That's where the wisdom is. All right, Pastor Ronaldo, Jesse, I'm working at a job. There's a lot of this stuff where I'm being asked to, I'm not allowed to pray in front of other people for my food or prayer or that, or I'm not allowed to mention Christ or the gospel, but this Muslim is allowed to pray and talk about the Quran, or I'm being forced to agree to celebrate the diversity of things that go clearly against what I believe.
Wow.
And the world is making the church look like not only intolerable and insensitive, but just downright defiant and mean.
Mm, yeah.
We're ungodlike because we're not tolerant in the workplace.
Wow. I mean, it's nothing news under the sun, right? Mm-hmm. And like in the Romans, as in the Roman verse I was saying, studying like the context of that, they're going through social issues, persecution, yep. all these different things, separation of people, you mm-hmm, know, Jews mm-hmm. and Gentiles, all mm-hmm. these things. And so, there's nothing new under the sun. It always happened to us well, but maybe it's for a good purpose that okay. you are experiencing this pressure, you know, because there's going to be pressure, as Paul says, on all sides.
Absolutely.
But can we be led by the Spirit and not back down, you know?
That's tough.
Yeah. Can His grace sustain us in that? But do I hold so much weight? I think this is majority of us, or we're taught that like you'll have this one opportunity and you want that one job and that you're going to get one shot at it.
This is your career.
Don't let it go.
Your retirement, your pension, your right? children, your yes. mortgage. Mm. I got a lot of reasons why not to muddy the water at work.
Wow.
You know, and I get it. I'm not saying that you so, to quote the phrase, the cliche, I'm so heavenly minded, I'm not in the earthly good. Mm. I'm not saying that you become, irresponsible as an adult or as a citizen in just to prove that you're a Christian. And this is why you have to walk that fine line of wisdom. Like, I was thinking about Romans 12:9. It says, let your love be without hypocrisy. And that reminds us of this. Refusing to compromise truth is not the same as withdrawing love. In other words, I can love you and not endorse your lifestyle.
Yes.
I can love you and not agree with all the decisions that you make. I can love you without judging you, but don't ask me to lay aside my faith to agree with what my faith disagrees with. I can be that way because we are image bearers of God. So I can walk in that. I can seek the good for you without offering you the applause.
Yeah.
I don't have to be. I remember one time on a job, a guy said to me, well, you know what? I'm going to divorce my wife. I'm going to marry this other girl. And we're just going to break. It's just my choice. What do you think about that? I said, well, that's just your marital choices. I did not have to judge what he did. I'm not judge and jury for someone else's life. But you're going to find as a believer, because of the lifestyle that you lead, you're going to convict a lot of people.
Yeah.
You just by living your life with God, I want to say, like you said, I can pray for people. And here's where the rub comes in. When you start praying with people.
Yeah.
Because who you are in Christ comes out in your conversation with God. Mm. But they'll Nicodemus you. What I mean by that, they'll come to you at night. They'll come to you alone. They, excuse me. Could you? I've had how many times?
Afterward.
Yeah. Can I talk to you? It's so funny how they Nicodemus you. Yeah, meanwhile,
I don't want to be seen.
Yeah,
with you.
I don't want to be seen with you. I'm not going to sit at you. I'm the one that mocked you at the lunchroom when you prayed for your food.
Yeah.
Grandma just died. You're the first person I come over and say, could you just come over and say something to me? I'm not doing good. So that's why you hold your testimony, which is the second thing I want to say. After you said pray for, never forget the consistency of your testimony is your gospel. The consistency of your walk is your gospel. You don't have to blow a trumpet and jump on the lunchroom table and start quoting Isaiah 53, but the consistency of your character. And that's two things. It's two things that are that who I am in wisdom on the workplace is my calling and my character. My calling means that I'm called to know God and make God known. I do that a variety of ways. 2 Corinthians 3, 2, my life speaks. So on the job, I might not have a Jesus loves you t-shirt, but I can love people with Jesus' love. Yeah. Like you said, I can do that. That's my calling. So I don't put my calling down to pick my career up, but I can walk in my calling in my career. And then all of a sudden now, my job is my mission field. Not because I'm intentionally trying to win my office, but I'm intentionally walking with Christ like Paul. Paul walks with Christ and he's making tents and God gives him Aquila and Priscilla. Was Aquila and Priscilla his intention? No, making tents was his intention. Mm. But walking with God, making tents, he gets an Aquila and Priscilla. So that can happen.
Wow.
Then the other side is character. That's integrity. They used to have something. Jesse, years ago, I want to say 50, 100 years ago, called the Judeo-Christian work ethic. When you hired a Christian, number one, they were not late to work. They did not steal. There was a certain moral integrity that they walked in. So much so that it used to be 100 years ago, if you wrote Christian on your resume or your CV, you got the job. Because they know with a Christian, they're not going to cheat. They're going to give us honest pay for honest work. They're going to walk with integrity. They're not going to be bad mouthing or gossiping. They're not going to be drinking. They're not going to be loose. Yeah. They're going to have a certain character, higher standard of character than the other non-saved people. But unfortunately today, we don't have that. So Christians in the workplace often engage in the very same things that non-Christians do.
True.
Like, I remember my Aunt Linda worked for Social Security in Baltimore. And she told me that they used to have what's called a happy hour every Friday. And on Fridays, everybody would go down and drink downstairs at the bar at the happy hour to celebrate, let off some steam. And many of the guys that had the Jesus bumper sticker on the car and the necklace, they all went down to the happy hour. She never went. And she said a Muslim walked up with her and said, "You're the only Christian in this room. Wow. You're the only real Christian. Just your integrity says so much. Your character speaks. When you walk in the character of God, you expose the character of God to your workplace. Wow. So the two C's, there's my calling and there's my character. And this is how I find wisdom in the workplace. I walk in the character of God, the grace of God, and I express the person of God. Right? I express the person of God through my interaction with people. And they'll mock you. They may test you.
Correct.
They'll tell dirty jokes around you. Mm. They'll offer you drinks. They might even hit on you. They'll just try to draw you into sin because the goal is to corrupt you. The goal is to ruin your testimony because they're convicted by it. So what I convicted by, I attack. So the goal is to bring you down. So you have to walk in wisdom. Once again, the strength of your ministry, one of the strengths of your ministry at your workplace is just being you before who you are in Christ. The consistency of that, it really speaks.
And not like taking offense, right?
No, not at all.
Great is they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. And there's so much truth to that because, like you said, I mean, I get it still all the time. Yeah. Once they know you're a Christian.
Oh, yeah, they come right at you.
They come right at you. You know?
Hey, look at this picture. They just say it in front of you, and they're waiting for two things. They're waiting for you to join in because then they say it's all a lie. Mm. Or number two, they're waiting for you to judge them. So you're just trying to judge me. You think you're better than me. They'll often say, "You think you're better than me because you don't do what I do."
Yeah.
Right?
And then they'll say a curse word, and then they'll say, "Sorry."
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you go to church on Sunday, so I don't want to do that, you know. It's like we have to be able to walk in the conviction of who we are without being moved by the behavior of others. Or you could say we walk in the character of who we are without getting moved by the character of the, because Christ did this. I was thinking of this verse about the show. Publicans and sinners drew gladly to him. Why did they draw gladly to him and not feel judged by him? At the same time, he never became a publican and sinner, though he was fellowshipping with publicans and sinners. How did he walk in wisdom with that?
Yeah.
He just stayed true to who he was. He understood his mission wasn't to change people, but his mission was to walk as a changed man before people.
Wow.
and I said, if Jesus Christ can be with publicans and sinners and not be a publican and sinner, you can be in the workplace and you can walk in Christ and not be like your coworkers. Yeah. You don't have to be them. You don't have to fit in. And by the way, John 17, you're never going to fit in.
Wow.
We got to put away that playground myth that I'm a Christian, I want the job, I want to fit in. You're not going to fit in. If Christ didn't fit into this world, if they hated Christ, they're also going to hate you. So why would you be surprised when people don't get along with you in the workplace?
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes it has nothing to do with you. Mm. It's who you represent. You represent Christ. If he wasn't liked when he was here, they cruised how much more you? Scary version, you have Christ and you want to be accepted.
Yeah.
He was Christ and he wasn't accepted. Mm. So it's not a playground. You're not on your job to make friends. We all want to have friends, but that's not the goal of employment. Like you said, it's a tool, right? My fork doesn't have to like me, right? The fork is for eating, but I don't care about how it feels about me. It's got a purpose.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So it's like, I need wisdom. I gotta, and I'll say also this too. Like, I like what you said earlier. You said, be quick to listen, but be careful what you listen to.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're gonna poison your mind and say a lot of things to you, get you drawn up into political conversations, get you drawn up into religious conversations with an edge to trap you, just like they did with Christ. They get them caught up in religious conversations to trap you, to talk about lewd things that will get you talking about things that you shouldn't be talking about. And you have to know how to respectfully remove yourself from that conversation. Mm. Remove yourself from that Instagram thread. And by the way, that might mean that you don't belong to some of your coworkers' threads for Facebook and social media. Maybe you're not, if you've seen some of their pages, why in God's name would you be friending that person to be exposed to that webpage?
Yeah.
They got naked men or naked women or beer or alcohol or drugs on their pages, and you're just connecting with that. You don't have to subject yourself. Well, how come you didn't befriend me? Because I don't want to be exposed to that. Yeah. I love you, but not that.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you got to make some decisions, which leads me to draw lines early.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to set – it's like in a relationship with a person. If you don't set boundaries early in the relationship, you can't come later in the – try to put boundaries toward the end, right? Like you can't – if you just met someone, you want on a date, you setting boundaries date one. In the very beginning, you're setting boundaries. So in my job, I set boundaries early. Like, okay, I'm not going to have that conversation with you. Mm. Or, no, I'm not going to go there. No, I just don't go those places. I remember I had a guy, he was a Mennonite I worked with years ago. I loved his boundaries.
Wow, yeah.
His boundaries were scary. Like, he was like...
Intense.
It was intense. But he was dispassionate. He wasn't like angry about it.
Yeah.
He wasn't even convicting him. I just said, okay, we're going to go get pizza. He says, oh, I'm not going out. It's okay. I'll see you guys next week at work. I'm like, come on. He says, no, I don't do that. And I kept pushing. He's just like, he never got angry with me. He's just like, I don't do that. I'm not going out. I'm not going there.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, the strength of his conviction. It was so solid. He was unemotional about it. Mm. He'd have to work himself up to tell me no. It would be like, says, would you eat mud? No, I wouldn't eat mud. It was dispassionate. Like, I don't. To have, and it, again, when you set those lines early about who you are telling people who you are. So there's a lot of things that don't come your way because they already kind of know. Your consistency actually builds a respect, right? Mm. Even though they don't agree with you, low key, they'll Nicodemus you and they'll come behind the scenes and they'll respect you.
Yeah.
They'll respect you.
Right? Wow.
But I will warn you, you walk with Christ because a lot of promotion, a lot of value on the workplace comes through relational camaraderie. People that we play with, we drink with, we hang with, we tend to think they're like us, so we do what they do. So I like you, that's why you get promoted. So you may not get the promotions that others get, but I want to say this to you if you're listening to us today. Whatever you're supposed to get in Christ, no man's going to deny you. Mm. If you're supposed to get that promotion, God's going to make sure. Don't put your future, your career in the hands of a person. The job you got is because God opened that door and God turned the hearts of kings and got you that job.
Yes.
You keep that job for the same reason. Any promotions you get, it's because of God. It's not because of your dazzling CV or resume, but you got that because of God.
Yeah.
Right. And the more you honor God, the more you recognize that the job is from God. And then promotion, Psalm 75, right? Mm. Promotion comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
So I see Christians lament, well, if I wasn't so Christian, if I was just compromised and go drinking with the boss or go to Las Vegas and gamble with my superior, then I would have got that. No, you wouldn't have. There's no guarantee of that.
Yeah.
Right? Who do you trust? Who do you trust?
Yeah,
I'm going to put my career in the hands of God. And if it looks like I lose in the front, I always win in the back.
Yeah.
God is the long game. He's not the short game. The world is the short game. Instant gratification, instant right there. Wisdom in the workplace is to see the whole picture. Mm. Not just my little life and this little job and this little thing. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, I don't want to compromise truth to grow. To get ahead.
Yeah.
Can I not compromise truth and still get ahead according to God's will?
Yeah.
Really? Because imagine you compromise and you still don't get it. You lose twice.
Yeah.
Right? I'd rather honor God, right? Honor God like Daniel did, or like the three Hebrew boys. Will you recant? Well, we're not going to submit and bow to you whether God delivers us or not. We want him to deliver us, but you can't bribe us for our lives.
Yeah.
And that's a great question to ask yourself. Can Satan offer you up in Matthew 4? Can he offer you up the kingdoms on your job? Can he get you to compromise who you are in Christ and compromise your faith for a few more dollars an hour?
Mm. Wow.
Great question.
I mean, I think about when I first came to Bible college, moved to Maryland, was putting everything aside and my work, and I was 27 years old.
That was last year. Go ahead.
Yeah, but people are like, okay, it was like, all right, you don't have really a career yet. I'm moving here without a job and I'm just going by faith and, became a personal trainer. That closed because of COVID. And then I just, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? I was delivering groceries to people and shopping for people on TaskRabbit and Instacart and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I just had great joy because I was walking with the Lord and I was learning the Bible and just gaining wisdom for my life. Mm-hmm. And fast forward, God opened up a door for me that I have a job now that just like I'm not qualified for, didn't go to school for, didn't try for. And it's just like it's all him. Because there's no other way that I could have got that job. Most people have to go to school for X amount of years to get the position I have now. And I was thinking, because you mentioned a few times about kings, standing before kings letting God promote us. In Proverbs 22:4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are three things, riches, honor, and life.
Nice.
So these two things, humility, staying humble in the workforce, and the fear of God, having this in my workforce that, I don't fear man, I fear God. And so whatever you say or combat to me, it's just, you're going against God, not me.
Wow.
And so by those three things come, by those two things come riches, honor, and life. Three things that we're seeking for that are tied to careers. In 1 Kings 3, we see Solomon. What did he, ask? He asked for wisdom. And that's an amazing, ask for wisdom in your place of work. And then what did God give him? Riches and honor. He says, I'm going to give you that because you asked for wisdom. 1 Chronicles 29:12 says, riches and honor, David said, come from you. So careers are all about chasing this. I want riches. I want to make more money. I want honor. I want to be high regarded. And I would just want to live a good life.
Yep.
But this is saying it comes through humility and the fear of the Lord. Seek those two things. And then don't worry, God's going to add these things unto you. Mm-hmm. And, another verse, 22:29 in Proverbs. See a diligent man in his business. So there's going to be a lot of diligence. You're going to go through backlash.
Sure.
People are going to come at you and make fun of you because you're a Christian. Just be diligent in your work. Mm-hmm. Like you said, back in the day, 50 years ago, you were a Christian. That was a good hire. Mm-hmm. Just keep having these values and these truths that the Bible teaches us and hold on to them as best as you can. Mm-hmm. And if you have trouble in that, like it's never too late, PR, right?
Yes.
If you you know, went out drinking with somebody or whatnot, or did something wrong, and or talking with people in a negative manner. Like, no, you could like, okay, stand up for your faith.
That's
and
good.
Show them that you're a new man, you know? But 22:9 says, see a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So positions and honor, God will raise you up. That is what he's saying. Not before kings. He'll raise you up in positions of honor, and just be diligent in your work and trusting in God. So
that's good. I like that. I like the part, especially you just said about it's not too late to recover your testimony.
Yeah.
Because maybe you're listening to the program and you're a Christian and you start evaluating your years of employment, even currently where you are, you're like, I haven't been God's greatest witness. More often than not, I haven't said no. I've said yes. And my coworkers now know that I'm the guy that says yes. And so I'm not that great a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing you need to be upset about, I wouldn't worry about it, the fact that you said yes to Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Okay. You don't have to have a perfect testimony, but you can recover your integrity. You can recover your testimony. You can revenge, 2 Corinthians 10, you can revenge disobedience with obedience. Okay, God, on my job, I want to walk with you.
Mm.
I'm not talking about handing out tracts at lunchtime, but I want to walk. I want to walk in a measure of integrity in the spirit, and I want to work an honest day for an honest pay.
Mm-hmm.
I want to walk in the integrity. Maybe the jokes I used to listen to, I'm not listening to anymore.
Yeah.
They go out to the bar, I'm not going. And if I lose, I lose.
Mm.
Right? If I perish, I perish. I'm going to put my career where I put my life in the hands of God. Put my career, and it might cost me some things. It might cost me financially, but whatever I'm supposed to have from God, I'm going to have it.
Yeah.
Because he's going to give it to me. I'm not going to put my promotion in the hands of men. Because first of all, they lie, they cheat, they steal. I can't trust their character. Why would you trust the character of a person with your future? Not even your own character. Trust God. I love how you say you can recover that.
Yeah.
All is not lost. You can recover your integrity. You can recover your testimony. Just say, okay, God, you know what? That was then. This is now. I'm going to walk with you. It's like in Genesis chapter 17, after Ishmael and all the bad choices. And what's the first thing God says to Abram? Walk before me, O perfect man. Walk before me. Wow. Recover your relationship with me. There's no recorded history between the end of Genesis 16 and the beginning of Genesis 17. 13 and a half years of no communication between those two times. But what does God say to Abram? He says, recover your relationship with me. I'm not asking you to fix Ishmael. I'm not even asking you to take care of the whole situation. I want you to walk forward in my integrity instead of trusting your own integrity.
Yeah.
And maybe you've made some Ishmael decisions in your workplace, right? And you have, and you know that those little decisions are still running around. Like, oh my God, they remember that time at the party. I got drunk with all the other guys at the Christmas party, whatever it is. You can recover that. You can recover it all.
Yeah.
Walk in integrity. Like Jesse's just said, you can get it back. Just continue to represent Christ by walking with him now. You're not disqualified.
Yeah.
You're still, by the way, 2 Corinthians 5:20, that's your position before God. You're an ambassador positionally. Even when you don't act like it behaviorally, you're still God's ambassador, and God can still use you in the workplace he has you.
Wow. And to go on top of that, 2 Corinthians 3:6, we are able ministers. It says, know that God made you an able minister.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says that in the Bible, but now how do I learn to be what God created me to be?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an able minister, but now I got to learn, you know?
Right.
Okay, how do I learn to be an able minister? I think of the disciples, you know, walked with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They were constantly learning. You know, we could say you're walking with godly men, you know, maybe outside of work, or you have a Bible study in a church you go to.
Nice.
And you start receiving the word and you're just watching, going on outreach or joining a men's meeting at night. And you're just watching, you're observing, you're learning. And then they were sent out, you know, and there was not many instructions for the disciples before a few, you know, take this, take that, don't take this. There wasn't a whole job description for the disciples.
Right.
And this is kind of like our workforce too as well. Like God just kind of sends us out here and we're going to learn. We're going to have, we're going to understand that, you know, okay, I work in a place that there's not many godly or Christians around me that are, I could go to. So I need to have those people that I could come back with and say, hey, I'm struggling with this because of work or et cetera. People that I trust that I could get wisdom from. And, because I gotta continually be encouraged.
Yes, right.
Because I can't live in a negative, can't just live in the world.
Sure.
But our lives are like a day-to-day walk. First the disciples were walking with Jesus, and he used them in ministry.
Yep.
Then Jesus sent them out. They were used in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Third point, then they were scattered. And I would say this is maybe a job or an opportunity that came unexpectedly. God used them in ministry, you know? And so it doesn't matter where you're at. He could use you in your workforce and use your workforce as a ministry to glorify and honor God. And he'll open up doors to you. People will come alongside you. Nicodemus, you come at night. And it's amazing when that happens. I struggled with this one job I had, and I was just like, Lord, do you want me here at all? Like 2 or 3 years. I was just like, should I be here? And as I asked Matt, about 2 weeks later, two people came up to me asking for prayer, knowing that I was like a Bible college student. And I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. Nice. You know? So
sorry, God. My bad.
I should have asked you sooner. My bad, Lord.
What's wrong with me? Hello?
Wow. So, amen. Any closing thoughts, Pastor Ronaldo?
I just know that by the grace of God, where God has you is where God wants you. Whatever field, whatever workplace you're in, and you are who you are wherever you are. You're a Christian in the workplace. Walk with God and encourage people into walk with God with your life.
Yeah, good. I would say my expectations from him, don't expect your job to give you everything or the life you love.
Nice.
Because it'll disappoint you.
Absolutely.
It could disappoint you and it'll crush you. So our expectation is from him, and he'll carry us. And maybe we do need a job change, you know?
That's true.
Oh, my gosh.
It's possible.
That's a whole nother.
That's another program for another day.
Yes. And PR will be here talking about
that. Imagine that.
Awesome. So thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. I always mess that word subscribe.
We got to work at that.
Subscribe. Sub.
One,
under,
two, three.
Under.
Subscribe.
So the button's under. Scribe it.
That's it. Under. Scribing the.
Subscribe to the show.
Scribing the sub.
YouTube. Apple Podcast.
YouTube.
Google Podcast, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us on our next show tomorrow. Keep getting more wisdom. And yes, Lord, just carry us in our jobs and let us have wisdom in our job opportunities. Thank you for joining us and have a great rest of your evening. God bless. Amen. Thank you, PR.
Amen.